Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Alrighty, the first order of the day is the approval of the minutes. There are no minutes available for approval, so we will move on to the amendment and approval of today's meeting agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Are there any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is the mayor's proclamation of appreciation, and I believe we want to bring Sally to the front while we read the proclamation. Pardon? Sure. And Peter, his son, so the folks on line and on the radio can hear. It's a little tall for me, but I'll make it work. Between that and the progressive lenses, we got a lot of challenges going on here. That's good. And I know that the mayor wanted to be here to read this. So, it's fishing season, but please accept my apologies for him. The Proclamation of Appreciation says, whereas Alan W. Dwyer was born on February 20th, 1942, and passed away on August 5th, 2016, and whereas Al shared his deep and genuine love of our community and its residents in many ways, including using his musical talent to entertain residents of Petersburg's elderly housing, assisted living, and long-term care facilities, making sure our kids were able to sit in Santa's lap and tell them what they wanted for Christmas at the Sons of Norway Hall, volunteering to host many local radio shows on KFSK, with Thursday morning's Rising Tide show being a regular. His opening tune, Chantilly Lace, was played specifically for the kids at the Petersburg Children's Center, and co-hosting the annual Show Tune show with his beloved wife, Sally, each Thanksgiving morning, proudly marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade and Little Norway Festival parades, volunteering his time and expertise at St. Catherine's Catholic Church and Parish Hall, serving as an active member of the Sons of Norway in multiple capacities, including past president over the last 37 years, involvement with the Elks and Moose Lodges and the Beat the Odds Committee, volunteering as a member of the Petersburg Fire Department and emergency medical services for 7 years, and whereas Al was elected to the Petersburg City Council in 1982 and was later elected as Petersburg's mayor in 2007, Al served honorably as mayor for 5 years, during which time he was always willing to place his concern for the public good ahead of his personal interests, thereby earning the admiration of other civic leaders and the affection of many area residents. Therefore, I, Mark Jensen, Petersburg's borough mayor, do hereby express sincere appreciation of Al Dwyer's distinguished service to Petersburg, which is a better place because of his dedication to the best interests of the community and its citizens. Al will be greatly missed. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, moving on to public hearings. We have a public hearing on Ordinance 2016-10, an ordinance submitting to the qualified voters of the Petersburg Borough the question of prohibiting the sale and importation for sale of marijuana and any marijuana product and the operation of any marijuana establishment, including all of the following license types: retail marijuana store, marijuana cultivation facility, marijuana product manufacturing facility, and marijuana testing facility within the Petersburg Borough on the October 4th, 2016 municipal election ballot. Any public testimony regarding placing the question of prohibiting marijuana establishments in the Petersburg Borough on the regular municipal election ballot in October will be given a hearing at this time. A copy of the proposed ordinance can be viewed under agenda item 15A, and there are copies on the table. And a clause clarifying that local government may not prohibit the personal use and possession of marijuana and marijuana products has been added to the ballot language since the ordinance was approved in its second reading, and that is just a quote from state law. That's not any change that we have made locally. We've just inserted the state legal language into the resolution so that it's clear what this resolution will and will not do. Do we have anybody that would wish to speak at this time? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing, and the next item on the agenda is bid awards, and I believe there are none. And moving on to the next item in the agenda is visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there anyone that wishes to speak to an agenda item? Brian?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly members. Lovely afternoon it is. My name is Brian Lynch, and I would like to address the, under the mayor's report, the notice of proposed pollutant discharge permit. What I would like to request from the assembly is, one, to request from DEC a 30-day at least a 30-day extension on this comment period, and also request a public hearing here in Petersburg. A couple years ago, a year and a half or so ago, we went through kind of this back and forth with DOT on broad-based spraying issues. And I worked for vessel owners. I wrote a couple letters, and I know I helped the borough put together some one or two letters on that issue, too. I think it's something that is very of great concern to the local people here, considering that our livelihood, our lifeblood is fishing. And we also have subsistence uses, berry picking and whatnot, that we need to really understand just what sort of chemicals are being used out there in the environment. And wearing the Beat the Odds t-shirt was apropos in two cases, you know, both with Owl and the potential for cancer-causing agents to be out there in the environment from this activity. You know, so anyway, that's my request, and hopefully you will try to at least seek a 30-day extension. I get really concerned when I see issues like this, particularly in the summer. You have a 30-day comment period. That really disturbs me. It just, you know, any need to have public hearings, you know, in all affected communities. I think that should be a given when they do something like this. You know. The pertinent documents you have here, one of the state documents is 55 pages long, and the federal pertinent document here is 139 pages. So it takes a little while to go through that and digest what's in there. But anyway, again, request an extension and a public hearing here in Petersburg. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian, on that note right there, you said 30 days. That would be on top of the 30 days already given?
So yes.
You're asking for 60
yeah.
total?
What's the interesting part about this, I heard about this over a week after this was issued. I'm not on a list to have DEC notices sent to me, and I don't know when the borough received it. Probably might have been right
just
away.
Just last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of like day late and a dollar short kind of attitude, and it's pretty disgusting when they do stuff like this. Anyway, thank you.
Yep. Do we have any other visitors' views related to the agenda?
Should be fine. Thank you. And I'm going to bring my little monitor here as well. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Borough Assembly. My name is Laura Wong Rose, and I appreciate you giving me a moment to speak to the issue that I believe should be of concern of every resident of Petersburg, since it has the long-term potential to devastate our wetlands and our community. Last spring, the DOT announced that it would begin spraying Garland 4 habitat and Roundup on the roadways around Southeast Alaska, including Petersburg, Skagway, and Thorne Bay areas, to reduce the vegetation growth. Myself and many residents spoke out against it at that time. Just this Friday, I received a copy of the public notice from the DEC, which is Department of Environmental Conservation, which proposes to reissue a general permit allowing for the spraying of these toxic chemicals on our roadways in the effort to reduce labor costs of manually or mechanically chopping vegetation along roadways. These chemicals have been registered in the U.S. since 1979, but there simply isn't much research available that is not part of the EPA registration process, and most of the data on toxicity to animals is taken from laboratory studies in support of registering these herbicides with the EPA. When this topic came up last spring, I spent many hours researching the data sheets and testimonials from other cities and towns that are experiencing the same concerns with Garland 4, Habitat, and Roundup being sprayed in their communities and city parks, and the more I researched, the more I grew concerned. Taken directly from the Marin Municipal Water District report dated January 2010, triclosan ranges from not acutely toxic to slightly toxic to birds and honeybees. And a review of the potential effects of triclosan on salmon led the EPA to conclude that triclosan may adversely affect 16 of 26 threatened and endangered salmon species in California and northwestern U.S. According to a general fact sheet from the National Pesticide Information Center, triclosan ranges from practically non-toxic to highly toxic to fish, depending on the fish and the triclosan formulation. Okay, the definition of practically is almost, very nearly, but not quite. And from the Journal of Pesticide Reform, dated in 2000, the most sensitive life stage and species in laboratory test results is the yolk sac and fry of the coho salmon. Also, from the Weed Control Handbook, which is the Nature Conservatory, dated 1994, data has shown there is a significant chance of acute lethal effects to fish exposed to low-level residues for more than 6 hours, and in addition, delayed lethal effects were seen in fish exposed to high concentrations for short durations. I humbly ask the Borough Assembly to submit a written comment and request a public hearing regarding permit AKG870000 before the September 2nd deadline, and to please take the time to do your own research on the likely effects of Garland 4, Habitat, Roundup being sprayed in our community, near our wetlands and streams, and come to your own conclusions. But I am convinced that the DOT is not being a responsible steward of these lands by repeatedly refusing to listen to residents whose livelihood is directly affected by these actions for the sake of reducing some foliage. I thank you for your time, and please feel free to contact me if you'd like to see any of the hundreds of pages of material I have documenting the sheer stupidity of this proposed action. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to items on the agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Are there any that wish to speak to items that are not on the agenda? And there are none. And we do not have any board, commission, or committee reports or items on the consent agenda. So we move on to the report of other officers. And we have Sebastian O'Kelly, who is a consultant for the borough, who will report on the current status of federal issues impacting Petersburg.
Good afternoon. When I left D.C., it was 98, so I'm even though it's a little wet, I'm glad to be here in a more temperate climate. Thank you for having me come speak, and I always enjoy my visits up here to see what's going on in the community, and also spend a little time fishing and recreating as well. I'll give you I know you guys get our written reports. I'll give you basically a rundown of our most recent report and issues that are going on back in D.C. First of all, the budget. Congress recessed July 15th without passing any of its appropriations bills. This has become the norm in the last few years. We're likely to see a continuing resolution when they return in September. They're only in session just for a month to recess for the election, and possibly consideration of an omnibus appropriations bill at the end of the year. It's still a little bit up in the air on that one. There are a number of issues pending in the appropriations process of interest to Petersburg. One is funding for the Section 107 Army Corps Small Navigation Projects Program. Senator Murkowski was able to get an increase in funding for that program. That is the program by which would fund the South Harbor dredging. So I know you guys have had the Corps come visit you, I think, in June to talk about that project and talk about its scope, and it sounds promising. So it's something we've been working on for a while. The days right now we're not able to earmark funds anymore, so the way we work is to try and increase funding for certain programs where there's a particular benefit, and then make the argument with the delegation and with the agencies to move forward with those projects. One thing I would like to note on the issue of earmarking, next year I think there's going to be a big debate in Congress on budget process reform to try and address this inability to pass budgets on time, to make some big structural changes to how budgets are organized and how the process works, moving perhaps to a two-year budget. That's one idea on the table, but I think we'll see the discussion of earmarks come back up in that debate. I don't know where it will all go, but there is a feeling among some in the congressional leadership and both the House and Senate and Republican and Democrat that loss of that ability has contributed to the inability to pass appropriations bills. In the past, having the ability to designate projects and member states and districts helped secure their votes for that legislation, and so that since 2011, since the moratorium has been in effect, that tool is no longer in practice. So I think they're going to take a look at it in this debate and budget process reform. Where it'll all come down, I don't know, but it will be a subject of discussion. Couple other things going on. There is funding for PILT in the both the House and Senate Interior Appropriations bills, another one-year extension with a slight increase. So I think we will see a PILT extension in some shape or form. Secure Rural Schools is also expired, so that program needs to be extended. Right now there isn't a legislative vehicle in the past. The last go-round, it was passed as part of the tax extenders bill. This is a bill that extends a number of fairly popular tax breaks that are due to expire. So I think there'll be an effort to include its extension there. I don't know how that will come out, though. Another issue I thought I'd touch base on is Coast Guard vessel replacement and asset replacement. Coast Guard is on a long-term plan to replace many of its assets nationwide. That includes the replacement of its 110 class of vessels with the new fast response craft, the 154s. Senator Murkowski was able to include some language in the Department of Homeland Security appropriations bills asking for an Alaska plan, so that the delegation could know with more specificity where the Coast Guard is going. Right now, there's some uncertainty, not only I think within Petersburg, but within a number of other communities about what the Coast Guard's plans are for within their communities. So we'll get that next year sometime, and obviously keep you all closely informed as to what's happening here with the Anacapa and how you all want to proceed. Lastly, on the British Columbia mining issue, the delegation did earlier this summer, write a letter to the State Department asking, what's going on diplomatically in terms of their interactions with the with the Canadian counterparts on ensuring that we don't have a, you know, a Mount Polley type disaster one day when some of these new British Columbia mines are permitted and up and running. Then got a response back that was sort of along the lines of, well, we're having continuing dialogue and meetings, but didn't provide that much specificity. One of the issues I know has been to try and set up a water quality testing and baseline so that we understand what some of the releases are, even just in routine operations. So there is, Senator Murkowski does have some a directive in the EPA's and appropriations bill to sort of start setting up a partnership with working with a, it's not specified which Native Alaskan group, but working with a Native Alaskan group to set up a program to start doing some water quality testing and monitoring of some of the transboundary rivers with a focus, I think, on the, if I get this pronunciation right, the Unuk. But the Stikine obviously would be another river that they would look at. We have pending the Landless Tribes ANC or Urban Corporation legislation that would confer ANC type status with a new terminology called an urban corporation to the native villages, which include in Southeast, which would include Native Village of Petersburg. That legislation is pending. Don't know, you know, if it'll pass or, you know, where it's been introduced as a standalone bill, but it's also been folded into another bill as well. So we'll keep you closely apprised of that as it moves forward. The FAA, I know there's been an issue out years as to what will happen with your airport in terms of whether the state, I know, is seeking to dispose of its airports. So I know that's a separate issue, but we stay on top of what's happening with FAA funding and Essential Air Service. I think Essential Air Service will be funded again for next year. So that's good. The FAA is operating under a short-term extension through September 30th, while there is a pending larger FAA reform and reauthorization bill. That bill does include an effort to privatize the air traffic control functions of the federal government. That's quite a controversial provision, has a lot of concern in particular from states and rural areas because a privatized ATC may well view air traffic control functions in rural areas as a not profit or not a profitable center for them. So, we have a lot of opposition, primarily in the Senate. The Senate bill does not include that provision. It's in the House bill. They're in conference now, so we'll see where that goes. Hard to say whether I'm inclined to think it probably will get dropped, but I don't know that for sure. There's no final disposition of that, and it may hang things up again so that we have another FAA extension. So typically we have to go through multiple FAA extensions before we actually do a FAA reauthorization bill. Lastly, on talk a little bit about fisheries. The Magnuson-Stevens Act is due to be reauthorized. There's been bills floated in the Senate. Bill has passed the House, but the current thinking is that a bill will not get through this Congress, and that we'll be back debating it next year. We have some possible changes on the Senate Fisheries Subcommittee. Senator Rubio is the current chair. He is running for reelection. In Florida, if he comes back in, there could be some shuffling going on with the subcommittees. I know Senator Sullivan is on that committee, and he's angling to take over the leadership. He'd like to have it, but that's something that would be great for Alaska if that comes to pass. But again, too early to figure that out for now. It's something we'll find out more as we get into the next Congress and they start organizing the committees and subcommittees. That's about all I have to report. If there are any questions that you have or comments, I'll try and address them.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's good to see you again.
Okay, yes. Great to be back.
Moving on to the mayor's report. And one of the items is this notice of proposed pollutant discharge from the state. And it is, the state has changed their process. They have a draft permit public notice period that started August 2nd and will expire on September 2nd. And it's for pesticide general permit for discharges from the application of pesticides. ADEC is proposing to reissue an APDES general permit to regulate source discharges of pollutants associated with the application of biological pesticides or chemical pesticides that leave a residue. This permit is commonly called a pesticide general permit. The permit would apply statewide except for lands within the Metlakatla Indian Reserve and the Denali National Park Preserve. And it covers point source discharges of pollutants associated with the application of biological pesticides or chemical pesticides that leave a residue from the following use patterns: mosquito and other flying insect pest control, aquatic weed and algae control, aquatic nuisance animal control, and forest canopy pest control. The proposed 2016 permit will remain largely unchanged from the 2011 one that was issued previously by the EPA in 2011, from which Alaska assumed the transfer of program responsibilities in October of 2012 as part of the APDES program. And that the current one expires on October 31st of this year. No mixing zone is proposed with this permit. And DEC has tentatively determined to reissue a discharge permit for the activities described above. And if folks are interested in weighing in, written comments or requests for a public hearing on the draft general permit must be submitted within 30 days of the issuance of this public notice, which, as I said, was August 2nd. You must direct your written comments to the attention of Jim Ripkema at the address or email on the form. And will we have that posted on the borough webpage?
We sure can.
Okay,
I think they can get it from the front desk as well.
Okay.
But I'll make a note to get it on the webpage.
Okay, that would be helpful. All comments should include the name, the address, and telephone number of the commenter and a concise statement of the comment on the permit conditions and the relevant facts upon which the comments are based. Comments of either support or concern which are directed at specific cited permit requirements are appreciated. Mailed comments must be postmarked on or before the expiration date of the public notice. And we did have quite a bit of testimony and comment about this a year or so ago, and I'm not sure how the assembly wants to handle it, but we had provided, I believe, comments in the past, and this is a very streamlined process that the state has gone to that is really giving us less ability to have a meaningful discussion, in my view, and I would certainly recommend that we at least ask for a public hearing, if not make a comment as an assembly.
If I may?
Sure.
Simply put, I would like to echo Mr. Lynch's comments. I think it would be powerful for us as a borough to ask for a 30-day extension and local public hearings in communities affected by this. I don't know how we could proceed with that as an assembly, but being the comment period ends before our next meeting, I think if we are to take action as a group, this would be the time to do so.
Agreed.
And are we able to interject that into this agenda?
Yes, I believe that if you are all for an agreement, that you would like a letter written from the mayor. Let's say it's going to be from the mayor. It can't be a resolution because you would have to vote on it in a meeting. But the mayor could write a letter opposing it and asking for the extension. And if you all agree on that, I believe in this. Tell me to do it, and we'll get it done.
Then I need a motion if we want to proceed.
I shall move.
Second that.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor of having the mayor write a letter asking for a public hearing and comment?
Aye.
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 Is that
I'm sorry, I didn't allow discussion.
Is that going to include a request for an extension?
And that would be
or
part of it.
Would that be a separate letter?
No, I'll, no, I'll
it,
put
it would all
in
be
one.
The same.
Okay. Request for a public hearing, request in Petersburg, request for an extension for comment time. And what I'll do also, if it's okay with you guys, is I'll go ahead and look at what was done previously a year ago. There were many letters that were sent in. We were prepared to write an ordinance, as were other communities, mm-hmm. and we were told to hold off. So anyway, I will grab information out of that as well and just let them know that we are against them re-upping the permit.
Okay. And because right? I flipped the comment.
Adamantly against.
Adamantly against.
As long as the public hearing and extension piece are included in the letter, great,
okay.
From my perspective.
Okay.
And the only piece that I would add is that we hold that hearing outside of the normal fishing season.
Ah, yes.
So that people can actually participate.
Okay.
And because I flipped the comment and the vote, I'd like to do the vote properly. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we are unanimous on that count.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
And the mayor's report for this assembly meeting, August 15th. The first item is seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from borough residents willing to serve on the following boards and commissions until October 2016 municipal election. There is one vacant seat on the hospital board, and there is one vacant seat on Planning and Zoning Commission. Letters of interest may be addressed to the borough clerk and emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov, mailed to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833, or you can drop them off at the Borough Administration Office in the PIA building at 15 North 12th Street. Filing for candidacy for the October 4th, 2016 election. The first day to file for candidacy for any open board, commission, or assembly seat in the October election was July 26, 2016. Packets are available for pickup at the front desk of the borough municipal offices in the PIA building or by downloading the information from the borough website. Completed forms must be returned to the clerk's office by 5 p.m. on August 23, 2016. The following 19 seats are up for election. For mayor, one seat. For assembly, two seats. For school board, two seats. For hospital board, four seats. For planning commission, three seats. For harbor board, two seats. For library board, two seats. And for public safety board, three seats. As of Friday, August 12, 2016, the clerk's office had received five total declaration of candidacy forms, one for the mayor's seat, one for an assembly seat, one for a school board seat, and one for a planning commission seat, as well as one for a library board seat. That's 5 out of 19, which is only 26% of the available seats have been, I shouldn't say spoken for, but somebody has expressed an interest in running for those. Borough Clerk Thompson encourages all qualified borough voters to take part in our borough government by running for an empty seat on one of our boards or commissions. And if you have questions, please contact her at 772-5405. And I would echo that. We've had conversations before, too, about the number of elected seats we have on boards and commissions, and this may be the time to revisit some of those, but still encourage people to participate, whether they're elected or just a volunteer position. We're seeking community input on the state dock issue, and that's ongoing. The state of Alaska has offered to transfer ownership of the Papke's Landing Dock, the Kuprinoff Dock, and the Entrance Island Dock to the Petersburg Borough, along with a lump sum payment of $732,883 towards deferred maintenance. Condition assessments were recently performed that estimate the cost to bring Papke's Landing Dock to a safe and usable condition at $1,050,000 and $1,395,000 for the Kuprinoff Dock. The Borough Assembly is still seeking input from the community regarding acceptance or denial of the state's offer. A questionnaire on the issue is available for printing off at the borough's website, which is at www.petersburgak.gov, or you can pick one up at any borough office, from the City of Kuprinoff Clerk, or from the Papke's Landing Public Notice Board. The plan is to address this issue after the October municipal election. And then, again, the notice of proposed issuance of an Alaska Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, that's the APDES general permit I just read. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is planning to reissue a general permit for discharges from the application of pesticides as the current permit issued by the EPA in 2011 expires on October 31st, 2016. Public comments will be accepted. And the Alaska Municipal League Summer Legislative Conference will be held in Wasilla. That's happening August 16th through 19th. And registration forms and more information can be found at www.akml.org. And our Assemblymember Bob Lynn is attending that as well. Southeast Conference, there's a reminder that the 2016 Southeast Conference and annual membership meeting will be held here in Petersburg, September 20th through 22nd. Information about the meeting can be found at www.seconference.org, and I have seen projections that they expect a record number of people in attendance, and the Visitor Center is recommending that if anybody has lodging to share or rent, that they contact Marilyn at the Visitor Center so that we make sure that we're housing, able to house all the people who are interested in attending. And that concludes the mayor's report, and we'll go on to the manager's report.
Thank you, ma'am. Sheila and her staff are working with get our Medicaid provider recertification and also on the grant reporting for the van. Thank you to Michelle for help on the Medicaid process and Liz and Chris for their help on the van reporting that are required for the transportation van. We did meet with Alan Murph last week. He is beginning the process of drawing the plans up for the portico repair at the manor. It's a project that's been out there for quite a while to kind of shore it up before it has other damage done to it as it shifts a little bit. Sheila's also working with the hospital to set up classes for the manor staff, training on various topics, help make our staff that much more valuable and able to care for the folks who are in their responsibility. We are working with Motor Pool and Parks and Rec on purchasing a replacement van for the recreation center. So that's coming. Thanks to the school for letting us borrow their van for the interim. Parks and Rec is gearing up to get the community center youth basketball league running. We're searching for volunteers, including coaches, referees, timers, and scorekeepers. So if you're interested, please reach out to Parks and Rec. Community center fall schedule hours starts August 29th. There will be no open gym during the day, Monday through Friday, nor midday open swim from 11 to 1 as we try to work around all the activities that are going on up there. Maintenance focus in Parks and Rec is on pruning and maintaining the cleanliness of the park facilities. Jesse has been diligently working to repair the replacements of headstones at the cemetery, some of which have been begin to sink over the years, so we're trying to get ahead of that. Danny's working with the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management on a visit that will be here first part of September. We're actually going to bring an earthquake simulator, provide training, and facilitate a tabletop exercise, and she'll be getting information out to department heads and the assembly and the community on those events. Police and fire personnel have met with PROCOM and regarding the new dispatch consoles and improving the public safety communications. It's basically making sure that our scope on the new building project includes all of the communications project equipment, as well as the interfaces that they need to communicate when they're out in the field and with the 911 folks. So It's ongoing and will continue as the building project moves forward. Police department has been fairly busy since the first of the month. They've been averaging a little over a dozen calls a day, with two arrests and four citations issued. They've made more arrests and issued more citations this year to date than last, in spite of being somewhat shorthanded. An example of one of their calls, and this, we all need a laugh at times, so this had to go in there. One of their more interesting calls, an employee of one of our processors was seen climbing two flights of stairs, walking into the bunkhouse room, climbing into bed, and passing out while his pants were fully engulfed in flames. This resulted in smoke alarms going off, an evacuation of a couple hundred workers from the bunkhouse, and a quick trip to the hospital for the burning man. The report is still in the process of being written and researched, so you never know. Senate Bill 91, you'll hear us talk a lot about this, is in effect, and the effects are already fairly evident. An arraignment last week, we had three people show up, all of whom had multiple charges of violating conditions of release. One was released on a felony drug charge. In the past, we would have asked for a significant monetary bail or remand back to jail. All of them were released back into the community with essentially no new incentives to follow the court's order. This is, again, the state's crime bill that was signed and passed, and it's fairly clear from what we're seeing that the mandate is to not put people in jail, and it's posing a challenge for our officers as well as the community, and we're continuing to talk about it and look for possible solutions. Planning Commission meeting has been rescheduled for August 23rd at 2 p.m. for those people involved in it. Cindy mentioned, the Southeast Conference is expecting record attendance at their annual meeting in Petersburg next month. Thank you to PFI for opening up their bunkhouse to accommodate attendees, and we're asking folks again if they have available rental space from September 20th through the 22nd to please contact Marilyn at the Chamber. Public Works staff will begin constructing an open-top container bulkhead at the Baylor facility in the near future. The concept behind that is it'll allow sanitation staff to load our really bulky items, such as old fiberglass boats and trailers, into a container in a far more efficient and easier manner. CBC construction has reached substantial completion on pump station 2 with some minor issues to address. The new pumps have been officially started up and are pumping wastewater without issue. The contractor has moved their operation to start work on pump station 1 and established a bypass of the station through the new force main within South Nordic Drive. The old force main on the South Harbor Beach has been flushed and is no longer in service. That is really, really good news. With the bypass in place, the contractor can dismantle the pumps in preparation for rehabilitation and upgrade of the pump station. It's the one we were really worried about, with exposed pipe for wastewater literally right on the beach. Chris Cotta is working on the development of a design RFP for the City Creek Dam rehabilitation. This is for a lot of surface work where it's cracking in some spots, and we'll get that out and have the assembly take a look at it once we're done. Surplus equipment auction resulted in the sale of two vehicles. A future auction will be held to dispose of the remaining surplus units. As of this date, CECON has one large paving project to complete, which is the bike path, and several small patches and jobs around Petersburg, including the completion of the South Singley Alley paving. So, a lot less than they were doing, but they're still in town, so everybody keep an eye out. The municipal building, Carl talked about last week, where we had some contaminated soil work that has been completed. Total of 36 cubic yards of contaminated soil was removed from the site. The soil will be run through CECON's asphalt plant to burn off the diesel fuel contamination and then tested to ensure adequate reductions in contamination. Pending an acceptable result to the testing, the soil will then be disposed of at the landfill. And the library wanted me to throw in a plug. They've got three very special programs coming up. One, which is on August 15th, the Documenting, Preserving, and Collecting Alaska's Fishing Industry History. On August 25th, a puppet-making workshop with the U.S. Forest Service 2016 Artist in Residence. And Exploring Yoga Through Movement, Art, and Watercolor Journaling on August 29th through September 1st. And that's it.
Unless all questions. Right. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Have we had any response from CECON on the letter regarding Haugen Drive?
That actually wouldn't be from CECON. That would be from
the state.
DOT.
Yeah.
And my guess is no.
Okay. Okay. Disappointing, but not surprising. All right. Moving on to unfinished business, we have an ordinance for the third and final reading. Ordinance 2016-10, an ordinance submitting to the qualified voters of the Petersburg Borough the question of prohibiting the sale and importation for sale of marijuana and any marijuana product and the operation of any marijuana establishment, including all of the following license types: retail marijuana store, marijuana cultivation facility, marijuana product manufacturing facility, and marijuana testing facility within the Petersburg Borough on the October 4th, 2016 municipal election ballot. And then, as we noted, the clause clarifying that local government may not prohibit the personal use and possession of marijuana and marijuana products has been added to the ballot language since the ordinance was approved in its second reading, and that would be use in private locations, not public, out in public. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
It's by moved by Member Strand and seconded by Member Stanton Greger that we adopt this ordinance. Will the clerk call the roll? What, is there any further discussion on it? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Eric?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that passes unanimously. Moving on to new business. There's nothing on the agenda, and there is the next item on the agenda is communications. Does anybody have any communications to report? And moving on to assembly discussion items, do we have any recognitions? Jay?
I guess it's kind of recognition. It is a imploring of people to use their right as an American citizen and vote tomorrow in the state primary. It is our duty to do so, so please do. And I would tie that into your further duty. If you are not registered to vote, please do so. That will not apply for the primary, but for the state and national election. We need to be registered 30 days before an election, that's correct?
Correct.
So for the October 4th election, we've got some time. And Debbie, how would someone register to vote if they were so inclined?
Just walk right up to the front desk of the municipal offices, and Stacy or whoever is there can help you.
And it's pretty darn easy, so please register to vote.
You fill out a form, and we'll even send it in for you.
And just so folks are reminded, what are the hours that the polls will be open?
I believe it's 7 to 8, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. for the state election.
And folks can vote early as well, can't they?
Absentee is still happening today until 3 p.m. That's at the library.
Okay. That's good to know. And I would reiterate what you said. I was going to say I would love to see Petersburg have a 90% turnout instead
Absolutely.
Of a 30% turnout, especially in state elections. It's one way for the legislature to know that we're really paying attention and give a message that we're concerned about what's happening with our budget and our state. So I encourage everyone to vote. Any other recognitions? And I just wanted to thank Sally and Al again. Both of them have done a wealth of things for the community, and was very sad to hear of Al's passing on returning to Petersburg. Moving on, we have more responses to the Kuprinoff, Papke's, and Entrance Island questionnaire. And Debbie has summarized those, and I believe all of those are on the borough website as well. And we're getting a variety of answers, but I do encourage folks to weigh in. And then as an ongoing issue, we have left the marijuana opt-out option as a discussion item on the agenda. Does anybody have anything they want to add to that discussion? All right. And then Bob Lynn had asked that we have the hospital remodel and new facility as a discussion item. He's not here today, but does anyone else have anything else they'd like to add to that at this time? Hearing none, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Then moved by Jay Stanton Gregor and seconded by Eric Castro that we adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The meeting is concluded. Thank you very much.
All right.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.